On this show, we talked here and there about making money and being successful and how that influences our health. And recently, most recently, a few episodes ago, we concluded that you have to make at least six figures to reach that level of happiness in which any additional income will no longer yield you additional happiness. Wow, that was a mouthful. So let's go ahead and continue that conversation. I know I said that more money doesn't mean more happiness after six figures. However, it's still interesting, and I feel like you guys will be interested in knowing how to make a lot of money. And they recently did a study on that to find out what exactly is the factor that dictates whether you will succeed in life or not. Succeed, we're gonna, in this case, equate that to making a whole lot of money. Before we continue, I just want to say thank you for tuning in to the Roger PharmD Show. Some of you guys tune in regularly. Don't forget that if you're an anchor, I see who you are, and I just want to personally thank you. Thank you for the crew, specifically on Anchor, and those of you who tune in outside of Anchor regularly as well. I just want to say thank you so much. Remember to check out rogerfarmd.com to get to know me. And if you want to just communicate with me personally, you can reach me through rogerfarmd.com as well. We live in a society that more or less likes to tell themselves that the harder you work, the more talented you are, the smarter you are, the better you do in school, the more successful you will become. We've been essentially brainwashed to think this way, especially in school. The whole school system is predicated on this theory. The whole point why people will pay top dollar to send their kids to the top schools is because they believe that it's a positive return in investment, right? They shell out six-figure plus in money and possibly debt in hopes that their kid would eventually make much, much more money and be able to pay off that debt easily. Here lies the issue. If the theory is correct, then the distribution in wealth should more or less look like the distribution in a measurement such as IQ, for example. Instead, what they found was that the distribution of wealth follows the power law. And the power law is kind of synonymous with the 80-20 rule, where 80% of the wealth goes to 20% of the people. However, if you look at the distribution of IQ, for example, it doesn't follow the power law, and in fact, it looks like a normal distribution, which is what the bell graph kind of looks like. What that means is the majority of the people fall in the middle, and there are less people on both extremes. The majority of us are kind of average smartness, if you will. And that's just simply not what the wealth graph looks like. If you remember, a few years ago, there was a lot of attention and uproar, and I think a couple riots and marches against the 1% of people owning the majority of the wealth. That was the whole issue, whereas the intelligence graph is not like that at all. So how can the theory that the smarter you are, the more talented you are, the higher you score in school or longer you stay in school equal to more wealth be true? Well, it turns out someone decided to go and try to study this and either prove or disprove this theory. Alessandro Plucino, I might be botching the name, at the University of Catania in Italy, and a couple of his colleagues studied this. They created a computer model of human talent and the way people use it to exploit opportunities in life. And they wanted to measure the correlation between this talent and the success that these people will eventually have or not have. The results are in, and their computer model is able to simulate the correct wealth distribution that exists in real life, which is the 80-20 distribution. 80% of the wealth was able to be shifted to 20% of the people. However, they found out that the wealthiest individuals in this simulation are not the most talented. They are the luckiest. And this has significant implications for the way societies can optimize the returns they get for investments in everything from business to science. Let me explain. Let's take a look at Pulcino and their crew's example that they actually used in their research paper. Their example was one that was very near and dear. It's something that they lived day in and out at one point. And it is an example of science research funding. In that ecosystem, there are funding agencies looking to give out money to support research groups or crews or teams in hopes that they'll come up with something meaningful, you know, to benefit society. And if they come up with something, you know, that's valuable, maybe that funding agency will get some returns as well. Thing is, there are a lot of research bodies and teams and crews looking for that funding, applying for that money. And quite frankly, there's more applicants than there is money to give. So these funding agencies have to know who to give the money to. What this study suggests, and what other theories and other studies have long suggested, is that these funding agencies evenly distribute their money to all the applicants. Reason being, their previous method of determining who to give money to was to look at the track record of the team. But the research shows that a lot of it is luck. And just because a certain team was previously successful in their research endeavors does not mean that they will be successful this time. And it certainly doesn't mean that they are significantly more likely to be successful compared to a team that has not done any research before. And finally, I want to leave you guys with my thoughts and my takeaways of this study and how it can apply to everybody. Okay, so it's very easy for everybody to conclude to themselves that now that luck is known to be such a big role in one's wealth and success in life, it's easy to just feel like sitting back and letting fate take the wheel, you know? But what this really means is you have to take more chances. You have to work even harder. Hear me out. If you just let fate kind of just do its job and kind of sit back and not do anything, that is hurting your chances of getting lucky. You're getting lucky is like gambling in a sense, right? I'm not promoting gambling per se, but I'm saying you are taking a gamble. You have to take some risks to be extra successful, right? Sitting back and doing nothing and hoping to get lucky is the worst way to get lucky. You're essentially not playing the game. You are not gambling whatsoever. And how is anyone going to discover you, for example? If you're looking to be discovered to get some next opportunity, or, you know, if you're looking to win the lottery, how can you win the lottery without buying a ticket? Similarly, if you want to win the game of life, and by win I mean be wealthier and more successful, and that's not a perfect way to describe winning, obviously, the best way is to take as many chances, is to expose yourself, leverage all the resources that you currently have in hopes to get that big break. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter how much money your family has, or where you grew up, or where you live currently. If you even have a house, it doesn't matter any of that stuff. Since luck has such a big role in all of this, you can go from zero to hero in an instant. You just have to expose yourself enough so that it can happen. Once again, I'm not promoting gambling. I'm more so reminding you guys to take some calculated risk from time to time. Do not go and camp out in the casino or give all your money to a Nigerian prince in hopes to make it rich that way. Make sure you deploy your resources and time wisely into as many different opportunities as you feel are reasonable. And who knows, maybe one of those opportunities will turn into something big. Thank you for tuning in on this episode of The Roger from D Show, and I'll see you tomorrow.